I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. This is Wednesday, next hour. We will do what we do every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. We'll focus in on health-related topics. I'll tell you some things about antibiotics that are interesting. And you probably do not know, if you are one of these people who rush out to get a Z-Pak, as soon as you get any kind of illness, I got to go get a Z-Pak. I've heard that a million times. You may want to rethink that, but we've got that and some other stuff. I am doing some fasting. We'll talk a little bit about the benefits of that just quickly. I'm going to do that every few months, probably here on the show, as I do this throughout the year. I think there's very interesting science around what goes on in your body when you fast. So we'll talk about that and other health-related topics. Hump Day Health, Natural Health News you can use next hour. Well. The Republicans in central Mississippi decided to do something. A sparkling of some level of accountability for somebody that you sent into Washington, D.C. I don't know if this is unprecedented in Mississippi, that we can send somebody up to Washington, D.C. and put them on a short leash. I have watched time and time again, be the Thad Cochrans, the Greg Harpers, that they really serve until they are darn good and ready to step out of office. Take their golden parachute out into something else. And it looks to me like the Republicans in the state of Mississippi are a little tired of that system and rose up yesterday and got Michael Cassidy almost over the finish line. I guess we're not completely there yet, and the results are not finalized. So we know in this day and time, you don't call anything until they have made it official, because there can be surprises, as we've learned over the last couple of years. But at the very least, a huge showing for Michael Cassidy against an incumbent, Michael Guest. So this is, I think this is very interesting. I'll be completely honest with you. I imagined waking up this morning and just going, yep, we did it again. We did it again. There's just so many normies out there who fall in love with a name and a letter behind that name that they don't really pay attention to exactly what's going on. There's just been no accountability. But, boy, was I surprised and glad to be pretty wrong on this one. Now, if this does go to a runoff between Michael Cassidy and Michael Guest, the work is not over. It's going to be very interesting to see what the mainstream Republican Party, what the state Republican Party, what the national, what the RNC does, and Michael Guest. They have got deep pockets. And they will start using those deep pockets and all kinds of other tricks that they've got to put this upstart Michael Cassidy back in his place. So if you want to see change in the 3rd Congressional District, or just send a message, to just send a message to the parties. Why in the world the Democrats can't challenge Benny Thompson? Same thing. If Benny Thompson District is going to stay Democrat, if the Democrats are paying these prices at the pumps, if Democrats are realizing that the Delta is withering on the vine in a lot of places, just put up a challenger to Benny Thompson. Say, well, we're just not sending you. Maybe we don't want a Republican over here. It'd be great to see an upset over there and see a Republican take that seat away from Benny Thompson, but that certainly is a long shot. But for anybody out there who has been supporting either one of these horrific political parties, you should be putting up these primary challengers and putting them through, enacting your own term limits. Central Mississippi, yesterday and into today, is actually got off the couch and may impose their own term limits. And, you know, term limits for the House that have been proposed are 3 terms or 6 years. I believe for Senate, it was 2 terms, which would be 12 years because they serve 6-year terms. You actually beat term limits. If Michael Guest is replaced with somebody else, he will have only served 4 years. It's going to be very interesting to see the Republican response to this. I would imagine this came out of left field. I didn't see any polling, and Michael Cassidy did not have the money to go out and do his own polls. But I would imagine this was a big shock for the Michael Guest campaign. They really probably felt like they could pretty much phone it in, go do a few grip and grins, and ride that name recognition right back into office. So they are going to pull out all the stops now. We'll see. You, if you were a Cassidy voter, if you just if you know nothing about Michael Cassidy, but you're sick and tired of seeing people go up there to Washington, D.C. for decades, and we're getting the results that we're getting, you need to get energized and make calls on Cassidy's behalf to your loved ones. Because I guarantee you the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is going to send some money to Michael Guest to secure his seat. It's only 3 weeks left now of sustained effort. I believe the runoff is in 3 weeks. I think that's what Cassidy told me the other day. So 3 weeks you've got to try to mobilize some people, because I heard Michael Guest saying that he's going to encourage his supporters to make sure that they bring a family member or somebody else. I mean, this needs to be done on both sides. It could end up being a pretty tight race, but it's like pushing over a soda machine. You can't do it in one push. You got to rock it back and forth and back and forth and use its momentum ultimately to make the change. So the work is not over, but at least it's a short run. It's only about 3 weeks till the runoff election to see if you can send an establishment Republican packing. I did get an email from a listener yesterday. It was very interesting. I just saw it this morning. He said, I'm out at the polls campaigning for Michael Cassidy, and I'd like you to mention what I'm hearing out here. Democrats are showing up to vote for Michael Guest. They have been encouraged by Benny Thompson to do so as payback for his vote on the January 6th commission. Now, I can't independently verify any of those things, but it certainly would not surprise me and could be quite interesting. We have seen the Mississippi Republican Party and establishment Republicans do this exact thing. It was Thad Cochran against Chris McDaniel, where the word went out to Democrats, you don't want this Chris McDaniel conservative in there. We got to keep our Thad. And so Democrats crossed party lines to keep Thad Cochran in office. If that is the case, I would imagine they will redouble their efforts heading into the runoff. So it's going to take some energy from not just Cassidy supporters, even if, like I say, if you don't know who Michael Cassidy is, you are just sick and tired of the political machine kind of self-installing constantly and then serving until they're good and ready to leave, then you need to get a few weeks of energy. I would imagine we'll be hearing from Michael Cassidy here at the station again. I'm pretty proud of the role that WYAB played in at least getting Michael Cassidy's name out and giving him a platform to talk to people in the Capitol area here. I'm sure it probably helped. He's done work. You know, the district is big. It's not just within our listening audience. I know he did a lot of work on knocking doors and being on other radio stations as well. But it's anything that's kind of shows any level of accountability where people will actually not just rubber stamp vote a name recognized art, that is a victory. It's a victory. The job is not done, but it's a victory. And it's going to be very interesting to see what takes place across the spectrum on these midterms. Now, everybody knows I'm not necessarily I'm not a Republican. I'm not out there thinking that to turn Congress red is going to make any appreciable difference in this country, because the vast majority of Republicans are not addressing any of the real issues. But it is nice to see people rebelling against what the nut jobbery of the left is. I mean, if we can't fight against that, and I got a story about that. Even the left is rising up against some of these things, too. But I'll take a quick call first. Caller, are you with me?
I am. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I just got in my truck, and I literally caught the last couple of sentences you had there, and I had to call because you are speaking about me. That the sole purpose of the vote yesterday was to send Michael Guest a message that you screwed up, we put you there, you didn't do what we put you there for,
right?
And if you thought you were, then you were completely misled, and therefore you have to go.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost, you wonder sometimes if these guys, even really understand what the people really want. They're so insulated up there in Washington, D.C. They get in there, they get into the swamp, they're surrounded by their advisors and their donor class, and you almost wonder if they even understand that people are upset. I mean, they may be so insulated from this stuff, but I think Michael Guest got a message yesterday. I would imagine he thought this was going to be a cakewalk.
Well, yeah, of course he did. I mean, he thought he was going to be another Benny, you know, with 80-plus percent or whatever,
right,
which, again, blows my mind. I mean, the absolute worst district in the country and still wins in an absolute landslide.
That is just stunning, yeah.
But, no, back to your point, it's, you know, I've been the silent majority pretty much my whole life. I've never gone to a political rally. I've never put a sign in my yard. I've never gotten into an argument other than on policy with anyone. But anytime I've had the rare occasion to speak one-on-one or actually shake the hand of a politician who represents me, and I've done that a few times in my life, I bring up specifics as to what I think they need to be focused on. And honestly, all but one of them just kind of flinched or shied away or changed the subject. Like, when they're not in Washington, they don't want to talk policy, or that, you know, that they're scared to speak one-on-one in a room. You know, because someone might overhear them agreeing with you on a point that they've already been paid to do the opposite to, or whatever it is.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that these politicians, they go out, they harvest votes, they do what they have to, but I bet you they just hate having to campaign. They probably think it's really beneath them to have to walk among us and listen to all our ideas and desires. I mean, you know, I get the sense that they, you know, they phone it in, but they just want to stay in D.C. and keep getting the votes.
Well, I'll tell you how pissed off this particular voter is. My sick wife, who was in bed yesterday, I made her get up and go vote against him.
It's going to take that kind of energy. Yeah.
She literally got mad at me and was like, "Are you kidding me?" And I said, "Baby, it's that important." So I expect us to go and do our civic duty, and I'll be darned if she didn't get up, because that's just to the point where the silent majority is. So
yeah.
If Guest doesn't know, or if he wants to know, tell him to call the station. I'll give him my number. We'll talk privately or whatever. But he is in the fight for his current job anyway. He can always go back to being a lawyer. I mean, you know, that's like saying, you know,
yeah,
I want to go back to being a criminal. But either way, he needs to understand, and I hope everyone out there understands, that starting in 08, we elected a populist candidate. And then the pendulum swung the other way, and we elected a social media candidate. And now everyone's kind of standing around with their finger in their ear going, now what do we do? You know, we've had the populace, we've had the social, you know, whatever, and now is it just going to be a popularity contest, or is it actually going to be people like myself who go, no, you did X, Y, and Z, and that is not what I believe in or what I want you doing, so therefore you have to go.
Yeah, and you know, the other beautiful thing about this, and we don't know how, if this goes to a runoff, we don't know how the runoff turns out. I'm telling you, the GOP, the RNC, they're going to be flooding Guest with money. He's going to be going out and clarifying. He's going to start taking it seriously and really campaigning, so we don't know how it turns out. But messages like this, they send a message to these guys that we're not putting up, you know, that this is a near-death experience to a politician who thought they were going to cakewalk back in, and it can alter their behavior. And that's part of the reason to do these things, too, is to really get energized. And pulling your sick wife out of bed to go vote, that's the energy that it takes.
Well, like you said, I don't mind him having a change of heart or a change of attitude, but you hadn't been there that long.
Yeah.
Why does it take a shakeup like this to get you to pay attention when you've only been in the job for a couple of years?
Right. Well, I love the short leash. They should all, and this is why I say, you know, the Mike Madison maxim is never fall in love with a politician. You need to, if Michael Cassidy wins this thing and he goes to Washington, D.C., I said it yesterday, I will hold him so accountable. I mean, I'll be watching every move he makes, and I like the guy, but there is just no more, we don't have any more room for these people that serve 14, 16, 26 years. You know, we give them these long, long, long leashes. Every time we go to the polls, we go, well, I'm certainly not going to vote for a Democrat, so I've got to vote for the... I mean, we have just given them complete acquiescence to whatever they wanted to do for decades now in Mississippi, and I think this is a big, big message. I love to see it.
I agree with you 100%. I am so sick and tired of hold your nose because there's
yes,
no other option.
Right, right. Exactly. Yep. Voting, you know, pushing hard on that or filling in that circle really deep and hard with a little bit of anger does you no good if you don't hold them accountable in the end. So That's great. Man, I appreciate the call. We'll see what turns out. Thanks, man. All right, I'm going to take a quick break here in just a second. I mean, it's not just the right. The left stood up in certain parts of the country yesterday, too. So we'll take a look at that. I got to tell you, I love it. I like when people do these things. I'm not a big elections guy, to be honest with you. I can't stand either one of these political parties. I'm a libertarian. I think both of them are big swings and misses. But at least some people are being held accountable. This is a positive change. We'll be right back. You know, I went to the 2018 Republican debate down at the Mississippi Museum down there. I was with a woman, and I think I was squirming in my seat. She goes, "What's going on?" And I said, I just want to get up there and take some of these questions and be in that field of five, because what I saw was this panel, and no disrespect to anybody who's there. It looks like some perfectly nice people, but it was just such a vanilla stage of Republicanisms. And as a libertarian, I realize how misguided many of that is. I watched a bunch of kind of pretty much big government people up there talking about they just needed to get control of that huge government, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly. We're not going to escape the problems we have unless we shrink this government. That's the next stage. And hopefully, if Michael Cassidy makes it up there, if challengers make it up there, that's part of their intent, is to finally rein in this government. You will accomplish nothing having a Republican majority, but a government that needs $6 trillion to operate. You're getting nowhere. I hate to tell you. We do not like to be told and to think an issue through before we do something. Most people need to live through. They need to live through the consequences of their actions, and then maybe, because there's still some people out there who believe in COVID lockdowns. I have a personal story about that I'll share at some point. But, you know, people need to live through these things. And I believe the financial crisis that's coming will show you exactly the consequence of what we've done in this debt-based system here. But you can't, you know, people don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to libertarians, because I think there's no chance of them winning, and, you know, just marginalized. But talking about living through something, even the left rose up yesterday. Now, there's a lot of people out there who say they just wish California would slide into the sea. I'm not like that. I know there are very good people in California, and it's such a beautiful state. God knows that government is just trying their best to destroy it. But even the people who were sold a bill of goods on some of these soft-on-crime DAs, and I am totally opposed to the drug war, but you can't take people's stuff, you can't attack people, you can't murder people. Libertarians certainly believe in locking up anybody who is an actual danger. When there's a victim to a crime, libertarians are as quick as anybody else to lock people up. We just don't think that, you know, you should get a $250 fine for not choosing to wear a seatbelt, and you should be allowed to grow a plant that God put on this planet in your backyard and do with it what you will. But when it comes to violent crimes and robberies, you know, we've seen San Francisco, their murder rate has gone up. But most glaringly out in the San Francisco area was this insane idea that they weren't going to prosecute anybody who stole under, what, $900 or $950? And so you just saw people just walking into stores, getting armfuls of stuff. I guess they had a calculator to make sure. Is that including taxes? And they're just loading up $900 worth of stuff and walking out. As a libertarian, I find that disgusting. We're big into private property rights. But the people of San Francisco noticed, and they recalled their DA who campaigned on this ridiculousness of allowing people to basically just skirt the law in the name of some kind of social justice platform. I'm sure it sounded all touchy-feely when the guy campaigned, but they had to live through it. The people of San Francisco had to live through that chaos. They couldn't. It's crazy. I know. It's insane to think that they couldn't see what a train wreck this would be, to be that soft on property crimes, on murders, on violent people. They couldn't see that. I don't know why either. It's a mystery to me. But they finally had to live through it, and now they've recalled their DA there. We'll see who the San Francisco mayor now appoints to take his place. But again, I'm just as encouraged to see that as I am to see this situation with Michael Cassidy. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. This is Robert. How are you, sir?
Good. What's going on, man?
Well, two things. One, you were talking about California. You know, San Francisco, they've left the theft so bad that I think Walgreens has completely left San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely. Who can blame them?
No, you can't. I've seen the videos where people just going into the store with trash bags and ransacking it.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, we hadn't even heard about all the others that have left and just said, to hell with this.
Right.
There's probably so much vacant commercial property, storefront property out there. It's crazy.
Well, plus, you know, these Californians are also living through the idea that these business owners can't protect themselves with guns in these areas either. So it's, you know, you basically, as a shop owner, you invest all your money, your time, your blood, sweat, and tears into a business, and you just have to watch people just walk in one after another through your front door, and you can do nothing as they ransack the place? I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I truly believe that the majority of the people, even the majority of Democrats are looking at that. Guys, this is a bad policy. We can't even go to a drugstore now.
Right.
I mean, they've let, and the Republicans do the same thing. They let the far right, and then the Democrats let the far left tail wagging the dog thing. You got 10% that are far left and 10% are far right, and they're the ones dictating what the other 80% are doing.
Yeah, and they get the most of the press. They're the loudest too, and so I think that I think there's a really bad misconception. The media drives this stuff because they love the polarization. Our political class loves the polarization, and so they take these small sliver groups. I mean, we're all talking about the trans stuff. There's still such a tiny percentage of the population, and getting larger. But you know what I mean. I mean, they give all of the air to these few people. God help us if they find somebody who is an actual white supremacist somewhere. The media will paint that as all Trump supporters, and so they highlight these groups and make them seem so much bigger than they actually are.
You know what? One other thing too, you're talking about the political race locally here with Guest and Cassidy. You know, one thing that Guest has got working against him on the runoff is, you know, when they did that, pulled that stunt with Thad Cochran, that was a statewide vote. They could get Democrats from all over the state to vote. Guest doesn't have that heavy Democrat. There's not that many Democrats in that district that can go out there and pull the lever for him now.
Well,
he doesn't have all of the Jackson enough that the Republicans went and recruited when Thad Cochran was there.
Right.
That was a Senate. It was a statewide vote.
Yeah.
This is only just the district. But what Mr. Cassidy is finding out, though, is how the wheel turns. There was a pretty small turnout. You got 50,000 votes between Cassidy, Guest, and there was a third candidate. There's less than 50,000 votes between all three of them.
Yeah.
And they've been stuck at 89% since last night. We can't count these.
Well, I'll tell you,
why can't you get the last 10% votes?
I've already heard some stories. I was forced to vote by affidavit. I was pulled off the rolls and put into some other precinct without my knowledge. I'm still registered. I had moved, but I had still registered in that area, so I had to vote by affidavit. And I've heard stories that many other people did as well. So, you know, these elections are a mess. It is quite amazing that America runs around the world saying there's these unfair elections everywhere. Hell, I think Zimbabwe can get their returns in quicker than we can in this country.
Yeah, you know, they talk. We always talk about the corruption. We talked about the money going to Ukraine and how just a few years ago Ukraine was rated as the most corrupt country in the world. And I thought, bull crap, they haven't been to America yet.
Well, you know,
we don't take a back seat to nobody.
We do not allow ourselves to be on any kinds of these lists. When we talk about crimes against humanity, we have had people infesting our government that have been on the giving end of millions of murders and displacements around the world. But somehow we don't ever appear on that list either. So America doesn't participate in all those kinds of rankings. But you're right.
But what is taking so long to count that last 11% of the votes for? It will be. Just don't be surprised if somehow, through a miracle, Michael Guest winds up.
I tell you what,
50% of the vote.
Boy, there's going to be some anger if that happens. Sometimes these.
You know, because what he really is he is the heir apparent to Roger Wicker or Cindy Hyde Smith, whichever one retires over the next 2 years.
Sure. Yeah.
Guest is the appointed is the next appointed senator.
Right. The machine is not going to be happy that one of theirs has been wounded. They are not going to be happy, and they're going to come out swinging. It's going to take a lot of resolve for people to finish this thing off if we're allowed to in a runoff. So we'll see.
I don't think I'd be surprised if you get that runoff.
I
hope you do.
Yeah, we'll see. We may be talking about it tomorrow. Yeah, thanks, Robert. I appreciate the call. Got to run to a break. Yeah, it's going to be interesting times. I got to say, you know, at the very least, as an observer of all this, I'm very impressed, very, very impressed with the Republicans of Central Mississippi who decided at least to hold somebody accountable to what they have done. This is, to me in Mississippi, and I am going to ask this question if anybody knows. This may be unprecedented, at least in my lifetime. This is unprecedented. Chris McDaniel was the closest thing I've seen to this. And I believe if they hadn't pulled all of the trickery that they did from the Thad Cochran campaign to get Democrats to go to the polls to vote for Thad Cochran to secure that seat, Chris McDaniel might have made a run for it. Now, I remember listening to some of our competitors, who I refer to lovingly as the WGOP stations, who, you know, said, well, yeah, we kind of agree with Chris McDaniel on some things, but we got to stick in there. Thad Cochran's done so much for the state. Let's give him one more turn. You know, the machine infests a lot of different areas, and people have to understand. What you hear on WYAB is different. Michael Cassidy paid for his time on this station. He decided to make us a part of his campaign strategy. He's got a lot of area to cover. We were certainly not it. We're a piece of it. But some of these other WGOP radio stations, they get money from the state, which is controlled by the Republicans, who are controlled by the Republican Party. And so you have to understand, this machine is big, and if we go to a runoff, it's going to come out all barrels firing. So as an observer, this is going to be pretty fascinating to watch, but an encouraging day nonetheless. I could be accused here of being a little dark and pessimistic. This is an incredibly positive sign. As I say, though, I don't think it's any panacea. Sending Michael Cassidy as a freshman congressman up to Washington, D.C. is really going to count for very little. The rest of the country needs to pull its weight, too. Other people need to challenge their incumbents as well. People need to keep letting their voices be heard. This is just really the beginning of a movement rather than the end or so an accomplishment. But, boy, it is a positive step. So, see, I can look on the sunny side. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I see Palazzo's headed to a runoff as well. People of Mississippi rising up against the incumbents. This is fantastic. Now, it's a shame it's so difficult to do this. Michael Cassidy's had to work his butt off. He's put himself, he's spent a lot of his own money to do this. And now, you know, caller says he had to get his sick wife out of the bed and take her to the polls. Now there's a possibility of a runoff, a good possibility of a runoff. You're going to have to go out and vote again, and maybe for the next 3 weeks you're going to have to maybe call some people you hadn't talked to in a while or post to Facebook, you know, do some things to get some energy on the side of Michael Cassidy if you want to see a change. And it's a shame that this stuff is so hard, but this is just the beginning. Like I say, you know, if Palazzo and Guest are sent home and the message is sent, that's two out of 435. But it's a lot like health. You know, if you gain an extra 5 pounds, 10 pounds, you know, you're just kind of not careful with your exercise. You fall off your exercise routine. You don't eat well and you gain 5 or 10 pounds. Then you can take some pretty modest steps. Don't have to radically change your lifestyle. And you can get yourself back into shape. I mean, you have to make a determination and go, I've let it slide a little bit. I need to get myself back in shape. That's not what we've done with our political system here. In that health scenario, we have become morbidly obese, diabetic, and we've got heart problems and cancer. In order to beat this thing, you got to make some radical changes. It's not going to be easy. We could have reined this thing in decades ago when we got that 5 or 10 pounds overweight. We had a little bit of governmental debt. The government was growing a little bit. They were intruding in our lives just a little bit. But we didn't do that. And this is why I have such criticisms for particularly the baby boomers and my generation, Generation X. It's our fault. We took our eye off the ball. We thought that just pushing that R really hard each time and then sitting back and just waiting for everything to get better, we found out after about 20, 30, 40 years, that's not working. Now people have to work at it. You have to reach out to other people. You have to calmly talk to people, try to attract people to some level of insanity. Screaming at them at Twitter's not going to help. And so it's hard. We've let this get so far. I mean, I honestly don't know if the corruption in our government is beatable at this point, in this current form. I believe we have to have what is essentially a collapse of our federal government. I just don't know how it comes back. I mean, Michael Cassidy, should he get up to Congress? He's going to be faced with the same swamp that everybody else is. He's going to have things that he'd like to see done that you and I would like to see done. But somebody will tell him, well, if you want any hope of getting done what you want and your constituents want, you're going to need to help me with this. I mean, this horse trading up there. And it's all because this government is so big and so intrusive. So this is the very beginning, but it's an encouraging start. I love the fact I didn't know Palazzo was headed to a runoff. That's great. He only got 32% of the vote. Apparently he had two other challengers, Izell and somebody else. My stream here just changed. We had two challengers, and he only got 32% as a sitting congressman, rubber-stamped by the RNC and the Mississippi GOP. He got 32% of the vote, and now he's headed to a runoff. And I think this is the very beginning. You know, I think that, see, here's how this kind of thing self-fulfills. People are very dissatisfied with many of the votes that Michael Guest has passed and the direction of this country. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're about to see a time, I believe, a very, very difficult time financially for a lot of people in this country. And it is time for them to understand that this government, I don't care who controls it. I don't care if the Republicans or the Democrats control it. I'd rather see Republicans control it because they at least, the careening towards the cliff is a tad bit slower than when the Democrats are in control. No doubt about that. But just because you're moving towards the cliff more slowly doesn't mean you just keep on keeping on. We need to turn this ship around. We need to put on the brakes, back up, and go the other direction. And that takes a whole lot of work from where we are right now. So encouraging, but just the beginning of the job. So we'll see. We'll continue here on the station today to look at election results. And I hope tomorrow I am not coming in here. You know, as Robert said a second ago on that call, yeah, when they've got these lingering 12% of votes not counted yet, I think all of us pucker a little bit, just thinking, are they about to pull something else out on us? And it could be perfectly honest, but at this point, the political class has no credibility. We can assign them no instant benefit of the doubt, any instant ideas that there's any integrity in the elections. I'm not saying that if Guest comes out ahead and ekes past 50% with this last 12% to be counted, that is going to be something wrong. But boy, they have tainted us. We no longer trust them automatically, and that's another positive thing too. I'll be right back. Try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, final segment for this part of the show today, and then we're going to get into Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use next hour. I think a much more positive part of this show, probably more than any other. We'll get to that. But, it's going to be very interesting to see in the rest of these elections, too. I'm looking at the results right now. Cassidy has 48%. Michael Guest has 47%. So it looks like this is going to head to a runoff, but that is 89% reporting. So nobody takes anything for granted anymore, do you? It doesn't matter if there's 4% still outstanding. You know, there's always the chance that you are going to wake up the next day wildly disappointed. So we'll see what takes place there. I'm anxious for the next school board elections across the country, but especially in places like Madison and Rankin County. I don't know if, I mean, the Jackson Public Schools are failing so many of their students, and yet the parents don't seem to be engaged there, but I could be completely missing it. You know, we may just not get people in that world listening to this station. I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, when it came to the masking, Rankin County and Madison County were going out there trying to protect their kids from these horrible policies. I didn't hear a peep out of Jackson school board stuff, but maybe it's happening. But school board elections are the next thing. You need to keep, I mean, like I said, we have allowed this to get out of hand. It's going to take a lot of work to start pulling this back, a lot of energy. And we know, I mean, I don't know what percentage of the population is just completely disengaged. There's a lot of people that went and voted for Michael Guest yesterday that have basically listened to nothing about any of the candidates or any of the issues that's been going on for the last 2-4 years. They just knew it's, you know, Republicans have this thing about they like to wear the flag that shows they voted. I'm sure Democrats are the same way, but they think it's this patriotic duty to get up and go vote. I keep recalling this, but I think Roger Wicker in his last primary, where he was just a shoe-in, got like 168,000 people to get off the couch and go vote for him in a primary where he was most definitely going to win. And I found that to be almost weird and pathetic, because I was just like, what drew you to expending any effort for this guy? Well, it's because they don't pay any attention to anything. They don't know he just went to the World Economic Forum, nor I guess would they even care, because they don't know what the World Economic Forum is. They don't know what was said there. They don't know that he just voted for this money for Ukraine, or if they do know, they've just listened to the 30 minutes of news, or they listen to Fox News, and they believe that we needed to send money to Ukraine because Putin is the devil. They don't look deep into any of these issues. They're not engaged, and that's the large majority of people. And Michael Guest gets a lot of that, as did Greg Harper, as did Thad Cochran, as does Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde-Smith. If they got an R behind their name and they come to the Rotary Club, then they get the vote. People aren't paying attention. But that's starting to change. So the sliver of people that are paying attention, and apparently it's about 48% of the voters in the 3rd Congressional District, you got a lot of work to do. Now, that's not 48% of the people in the 3rd Congressional District, because obviously everybody didn't vote. We're talking about 45,000 votes that were cast yesterday. I guess that'll be higher once they get the rest of these votes counted, maybe around 50,000 votes. But that's a sliver. So you're talking about 20, 25,000 people in central Mississippi. You got to get engaged at the school board level now. And you got to wait for the next 2 years. You got to hold Michael Cassidy accountable for 2 years. I mean, this is a process, but we let it go so far off the rails that now constant vigilance is what's required. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mike?
Good. What's going on?
I think it's a great day in Mississippi. Me and my wife went out and voted at the primary yesterday, and before we went in, we were just discussing Michael Guest, and there was no way that 2 card-carrying Republicans were going to walk into that voting precinct and check the name Michael Guest. I mean, how lazy has he been? I mean, he's hanging his head on abortion. Dude, abortion's over in Mississippi. They passed a law. You know, I mean, let's move on to some things that affect us other than abortion.
Yeah. Well, and there needs to be some level of creativity, too. I mean, you know, Michael Guest, and you know, I like the guy. So but I don't care.
I think he's a snake.
Yeah, but
I think he is a snake. I'll let you finish. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, and he may very well be. I don't know him well at all. But it is just this we just put these cutouts. It's just like they come out of some kind of a mold in Mississippi. Greg Harper, Michael Guest. I mean, if they didn't have different color hair and you just looked at their voting records or kind of even their demeanor, it's just I'm the Republican. You send me back. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. And it is beautiful to see people finally paying attention. Sorry, Michael Guest, that you came in during a time where people were finally paying attention. They're sick and tired. I've got
negative. Yeah. Negative. He did this to himself. He I remember when COVID first exploded. And they first introduced the big spending bill, you know, and they were going to send out the money. Now, Michael Guest did not vote for that bill, and you would be happy about that, Mike. He didn't vote for it, but the very next day, he was on WLBT News in the Jackson area touting all the money that Mississippi was going to get from this bill.
Right.
And he was hanging out with the Board of Supervisors,
right,
these people and those people, and letting them know they were going to get this much money. Man, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
And get out of my congressional district.
You know, I really wonder. I love this call. I mean, because I think this is what a lot of people are thinking. I just truly wonder. I'm just somebody who's always curious about things. And I wonder if any of this dissatisfaction with him has ever reached him. Or is he so insulated and the party told him, oh, this is a shoe-in, you'll be fine. And so he just did what he's, you know, just goes through the motions like every Republican does. Is he shocked today or did he see this coming?
Go look at his website, Cindy Hyde Smith's website. There is no way to contact these people.
Yeah.
They are so far removed from their constituents because they don't give a damn.
Yeah. I totally agree. Well, you can email Roger Wicker and he'll send you back a form with the font and is even different in parts of it. You can tell it was cut and pasted together. I mean, they do not care about us. As George Carlin said, they do not care. They do not care. They do not care about you.
Let's get back to governing for the people, by the people.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm curious. Did this come as a big surprise, or was there a little bit of sweating for the past few weeks? I got the feeling that Michael Guest thought he was going to phone it in, that Palazzo was probably the same way. These guys they're in for a rude awakening. You can only ignore the people for so long. 30, 40 years, that seems like maybe that's about enough time we're going to get active. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. We focus in on nutrition and health. I think this is an empowering segment. You know, we're taking action to try to fix some of the problems in our political system. We need to be working to fix problems in our own health as well. It's about taking action, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, some do's and some don'ts. I start every show by explaining to you, however, I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist, ain't a nursing assistant. I'm nothing. I got no certifications to advise you on your health. I just try to bring topics to this show. And I know a lot of people are suffering from health problems, and I want something to just make you stop and go, hadn't thought about that before. And do your own research and decide if you can take your health into your own hands. I'm going to show you what happens when you do. Take a little bit of time, put in a little bit of effort, what you can do for your health. I am currently doing, I had usually done, and I know I talk about this often. Number one, there's new listeners to the show. People are in and out of their cars. They don't, you know. So some things do get repeated here. I'll talk a lot about GMOs and organic foods and things like that. Another thing I talk about is fasting, and when I'm doing it is pretty much when I bring it to the show. I used to do a 5 to 7 day water fast at the beginning of every year in January to kind of let my nutritional freak flag fly in December during the holidays. And then in January, I feel like I kind of cleaned myself up and reset. This year, I did something a little different. In the beginning of the year, I think I did about a 4 day fast instead of a 5 to 7 day. And I figured I'd just do it every quarter. Well, the second quarter came and went. I didn't do it. I guess we're technically still in the second quarter, but I'm doing right now just a 3-day to 4-day water fast. I had lunch on Monday, and then I had a small salad with a little bit of turkey on Monday night around 7 o'clock, and those are the last things that I have had to eat, and I'm doing just fine. I'm going to tell you a little bit about fasting and why it's something you should consider. I wish I had pulled up a clip that I sent to a friend of mine last week, but there's clips out there. You'll hear some of the natural health people say it's one of the most powerful tools out there for regaining your health. Now, there may be situations where a fast is not good for you. It certainly is not good for children. Don't make your children fast. Joe Biden's trying to do that with the baby formula stuff. But outside of that, do not make your children fast. But for most people, there's a lot of benefits to it. I'm going to talk about that just a little bit here in this first segment. I ran across a story on ideapod.com. It was a guy who was recounting his experience. He says, I just finished a 3-day, 72-hour water fast. It was brutal. Now, I'm going to debunk that to a tiny bit, but even he admits why it was bad. He just talks about headaches and heart rates and all kinds of different things. One of the things that he admits to is he didn't prepare himself for a fast. If you want to do any kind of fasting, do not eat the standard American diet and then wake up one day and go, I'm not going to eat for 3 days. You will crash and burn. You have to kind of ease into it a tiny bit. I find that I don't have to ease into it as much as I used to have to because I've done it so many times. I'm used to it. Kind of know what to expect. And so it becomes easier and easier the more you do it. But let me tell you some of the advantages to doing just even a three-day water fast. And I know people think this is insane. You're not going to eat for 3 days? This is what I hear all the time. Understand that fasting has been going on. It's been part of religious and spiritual and health things for thousands and thousands of years. And I'm a big person in looking to us as mammals, as animals, too, and thinking, what makes sense just on an animal? I don't want to go into any kind of a fad thing because, you know, some trendy Hollywooder or Instagram star or something pushes a diet. I always look at it and say, as an animal, if your dog gets sick, what's one of the first things? And cats, too. What's one of the first things they do? They stop eating. Just intuitively, animals will, when they get sick, get an upset stomach, or they have a problem, they will stop eating. We get concerned about them. And then after a few days, they start eating again. And what they're doing is they're letting their body repair itself and not taxing it using energy to digest food. So there are preparations for this stuff. I've got a link to this guy's story if you want to know. But you basically need to start kind of making your diet a little bit more plain, a little bit, make sure it's whole foods and kind of tapering down on food. And then you can go into a fast and you really won't feel much. Maybe the first time. First time I did it, I got to tell you, it's a little rough. Second time, easier. This one I could do standing on my head. When you break a fast as well, you don't break a fast by running out and grabbing a huge steak. As much as it might seem like you want that, you need to come out of a fast slowly as well. But I wanted to read a little bit of this just to show you what's happening inside my body as we speak. According to researchers from the School of Gerontology and the Biological Sciences at the University of California, fasting for 3 days can regenerate the entire immune system. Should I read that again? According to researchers from the School of Gerontology and the Biological Sciences at the University of California, fasting for 3 days can regenerate the entire immune system. The researchers described their breakthrough as, quote, remarkable, and were surprised by their findings, quote, we could not predict that prolonged fasting would have such a remarkable effect in promoting stem cell-based regeneration of the hematopoietic system. that was Professor Walter Longo. He's the professor of gerontology and biological sciences at the University of California. He said, when you starve, the system tries to save energy, and one of the things it can do to save energy is to recycle a lot of immune cells that are not needed, especially those that it may be damaged. What we started noticing in both our human work and animal work is that the white blood cell count goes down with prolonged fasting. Then when you refeed, the blood cells come back. So we started thinking, well, where does that come from? Prolonged fasting forces the body to use its stores of glucose, fat, and ketones, and it also breaks down a significant portion of white blood cells. And so what goes on during a fast is something called autophagy. It starts actually going in and getting rid, cleaning house. You know, when you got a day off, you know, you're busy all week, your house starts getting a little bit messy, but you've got that Saturday or that Sunday off where you don't have anything to do and you decide to yourself, hey, I've got a bunch of time today, I'm going to clean house. Well, that's what happens inside your body when you're doing some level of fasting. Autophagy means to eat oneself. It's the body's mechanism of getting rid of all its broken down old cell machinery, organelles, proteins, and cell membranes when it no longer has the energy to maintain it. Cells are meant to die, and autophagy accelerates the process. It's effectively a form of cellular cleansing. What slows down autophagy? What stops your body from repairing itself? Eating, glucose, insulin, and proteins turn off this self-cleaning process. It doesn't take much to switch autophagy off, which is why this particular author recommends a water fast over any other type of fast. There's intermittent fasting as well, but you don't have the time. I'm going to give you some time frames on when you can expect your body to start kicking into some of these cleaning processes. And let me just say this. I have not had a sick day in 16 years now. I don't even know if people believe that because I can barely believe it. My children don't really know what it looks like for me to be sick. Never seen it. I missed one day of work and the past many, 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 many years for back spasms, a physical ailment, but nothing for illness. 16 years, not a pharmaceutical, not a doctor's visit, not a fever, not a sore throat. A couple of tickles. I could feel something coming on. And I ramped up my nutrition that day. The second I was kind of in tune to my body, something was happening, and it never the next day took hold of me. 16 years. This piece says your body is always in a state of autophagy, but it will accelerate the process after 12 hours of fasting. Most reports indicate, however, that the sustained benefits of autophagy happen after 48 hours of fasting. So here's the timeline of a fast. And again, I'm doing these 72 hours rather than a 5 to 7 day that I'd done before. At 12 hours, ketone production may start. Ketones reduce inflammation and improve cognitive function. You can measure your ketones using a ketone monitor. I use the pea strips that I get at the local grocery store. You can find them. Diabetics use them. And you TT on these little strips, it turns a color. You can find out if you are burning ketones for fuel. A lot of people who get on the ketogenic diet, eating a high-fat, low-carb diet, get these strips to maintain, to check their ketone levels. At 18 hours, you most likely have exhausted your glycogen stores and have entered the fat-burning mode. You're now producing more ketones. At 24 hours, significant autophagy, and remember, that's the self-cleaning process inside the body. At 24 hours, significant autophagy is happening. Your body is breaking down some proteins linked to neurodegenerative diseases, and is starting to repair itself. Furthermore, you'll start experiencing some intestinal cell regeneration at this point. At 48 hours, and here's one I'm always excited about, your growth hormone levels are 5 times higher than it was when you started your fast. Growth hormones preserve lean muscle and reduce fat accumulation. So you kick into producing more growth hormone. As you age, which I do every year, your growth hormone levels go down naturally. This is a way to boost them back up. At 48 hours, your growth hormone level is 5 times higher than it was when you started your fast, and this helps to preserve lean muscle and reduce fat accumulation. And at 72 hours, your body is breaking down old immune cells and producing new ones. And as that research from the University of California showed, you are actually rebuilding top to bottom your entire immune system over a 72-hour water fast. Now, different benefits at different times. If you want the maximum benefit for decreased insulin levels, and if you're diabetic or pre-diabetic, I recommend you check out information from Dr. Jason Fung. That's F-U-N-G. I believe he's up in the Chicago area. He does a lot on diabetes and fasting, both intermittent and prolonged fasting, and he has reversed a lot of diabetics' cases. Again, don't just jump into a fast. I have no idea the mechanisms of blood sugar and diabetes and these kinds of things, but if you want to decrease your insulin levels, one day of fasting does that. The maximum benefit for autophagy takes 3 days, and that's why I'm doing a 72-hour minimum fast this time. I want that autophagy. I want to rebuild my immune system. Maximum benefits for weight loss and ketone production is 5 days and beyond. That's when you get your maximum benefits for weight loss. I am not doing this for weight loss. I'll be happy to drop a little bit of fat, but that's not my big thing. I actually want to gain weight. Maximum benefits for immune reboot and musculoskeletal stem cells is 2 days. And again, as you get older, which most of us do every single year, you certainly want to be producing good, healthy bone as well. And then the maximum benefits for intestinal stem cells takes 4 days. So there's different levels, different amounts of time that you do a fast. You kind of bump up exactly what your body and the different benefits you're getting from it. But I think it's a kind of a remarkable thing. It's been around for forever. So many people think it's insane. I will say there's a couple things I do differently now that I think does make it a little bit easier or almost unnoticeable. One is I have been including, I'll take a little bit of Himalayan sea salt, I'll grind it up, put it in a glass, and drink it in some water. I don't particularly like the taste, you know, that kind of soft, slightly salty water. But there's a lot of electrolytes in that, a lot of minerals in that, and I think it keeps my electrolytes, probably helps my energy, and so I include that. But it doesn't kick me out of autophagy. It doesn't kick me out of a fast to just have a sprinkling of sea salt and some water. I also have to admit to my addiction, and that is coffee. Now, the worst part of fasting for me is not missing a meal. I'm not missing any food. It is not having my full-fat coconut oil, butter, stevia, and cinnamon coffee. It hurts my feelings to even say that out loud right now. I miss it so much. But I am drinking just a little bit of black coffee during these days because I do not want the caffeine withdrawal on top of any other uncomfortableness of a fast. Black coffee will not break a fast. Some people say you can put even a couple of little things in your coffee, but I don't want to risk it. I want my body repairing itself. So I do get a little bit of caffeine in just straight black coffee. I will never drink straight black coffee any other time. I do not like straight black coffee. I can't imagine why people like straight black coffee, but I'll do it just to keep a little bit of caffeine going. I also admit to other things. One of the things that helps me get through a fast is doing the research that I just shared with you. If I get into it and I start, my mind will start playing tricks with me. Oh, nobody will know if you'll eat tonight. You can still tell people you're fasting. Now, I would never do that. I'll tell you, many times I've thought about fasting. That's several times over the last 6 weeks. I've thought, next week I'm going to fast, and then I just didn't. And I'll think about that, and I'll think, well, what are you really trying to do? You're actually trying to gain weight. You want to build muscle. You want to go to the gym today, but you can't if you don't eat. So why don't you just go ahead and eat? We'll fast another time. You know, my mind will start playing tricks on me. And so what I will do is I will go and look up this stuff like I just told you. I'll go find the benefits. Why am I doing this? Sometimes you have to constantly remind yourself. When I do this 5 to 7 day fast, you can believe I'm reading a ton of information about the benefits of a fast because I need that constant reinforcement. Nobody's cheering me on. I'm a single guy in the first place. And a lot of people that I know that I do these things, they think I'm insane. So nobody's cheering me on. I've got to cheer myself on. So I'll do research and find out all of these benefits. And this one right here, the fact I'm replacing my entire immune system and giving myself a brand new immune system is enough to keep me going to 72 hours. And I'll probably end up going 96. But do find some reinforcing things there. I will also admit to this. I'm looking at trying the carnivore diet. I talked about it a little bit last week. Coming out of this, I'll probably do kind of eat keto when I come out of this. Good whole foods, but I'll probably go high fat and low carb. But I may transition into carnivore. And last night I did order a new grill. So in the middle of my fast, and it doesn't mean I've got some snacks that I just love to nosh on, and they're sitting around the house. It is a little difficult to walk away from those. So I did yesterday order a new grill, just already anticipating this next ribeye that I'm going to cook for myself when I come out of this thing. So those things happen. I think there's tremendous benefit to this. If you've got a serious health condition, you probably do need to consult with a doctor. If your doctor completely poo-poos fasting, you might want to check with another doctor or go in armed with some research and say, yeah, but what about this? But if you've got bad health conditions, don't slam yourself into a three-day fast, particularly if you've got blood sugar issues. And I don't know what will happen to you. Do your own research, but this may be something that everybody can incorporate into their system. 16 years, not a single sick day. There must be something to it. I'll be right back. One final thing about fasting, and I'm going to move on. If you want to try it, just take a look at a one-day fast. I'm telling you, you can do it standing on your head. Don't slam yourself into it from eating garbage one day fast, and then eating garbage on the other day. That's not the goal. The goal is to try to kind of reset your system and head back out into a better place. But you can try one day, and then you'll find that 2 days is easy, and then 3 days. I immediately did like a 5 or 7 day fast the first time I did it. Matter of fact, the first thing I ever did was a 10-day cleanse. You can go look up the Master Cleanse. I bet you I got some benefits from it, but whew, that was an interesting ride. I'll put it that way. But the one thing I like about these shorter fasts, and again, I'm kind of adapted to it, so I don't probably have to do as much preparation, and I don't have to be as careful coming out of it as many people do. But when I was doing a 7 day fast, I had 2 days I had to prepare for it. I had to, you know, really curtail. I wasn't going to be going out to eat with friends. I wasn't going to be going out and having any beers with anybody for 2 days before and at least 2 to 3 days after, because you've got to kind of wake up your digestive system coming out. And I would look at my calendar and I did it because it was a challenge. Can I do it? Can I make it 5, 6, 7 days without eating? And I knew it would help me health-wise, but it was more just almost a mental challenge. Even more than physical, it was a mental challenge. I'm glad I did it. But with a 3 day fast, it's a little bit of 1 day of prep, and it'll take me about 1 day to get out of it. That's 5 total days. I can handle that. Once you start getting into your schedule and looking, you need 11 days where you're not going to have any social functions. You're not going to have a ball game you want to watch with buddies. You know, all of these things. 11 days is a long time to commit to it. I encourage you, if you've got severe health problems, you might want to trend that way. It's worth 11 days to reclaim your health, but I don't have those kinds of issues. But a three-day fast, pretty in, quick in, out, middle of a week, not missing anything. I'll miss a lunch or two here or there with some people, but that'll be about it. So anyway, I encourage people to look at it. I was driving last Saturday. I pulled into a gas station. I saw a giant sign. I wish I could show you this. There was a giant sign. It was a menthol cigarette sign, and it said the menthol was plant-based. So there is a lot of weird marketing out there around health stuff you have to be careful of. If you're smoking menthol cigarettes, I don't know, if regular menthol is chemical-based and this is a plant-based menthol, you may opt for that. But let me just say, it's kind of like putting skim milk on Frosted Flakes. You're not exactly doing yourself any favors, but plant-based menthol in cigarettes. I want to play this real quick, then I'm going to take a break and come back, and we're going to look at this antibiotic issue. Particularly, if you've got a child who's interested in athletics, I know a lot of people they take their kids' athletics very seriously. You need to listen to this next segment. But I wanted to play this real quick I haven't had a good bashing of the medical system yet on this show. This woman, and I can't remember who she is. I think they've changed, or I got this link in a different place. This is a woman who is one of the top of the big medical system somewhere. I don't think it was Johns Hopkins, but it was kind of one of those names you'd kind of recognize as one of the big medical groups. And Matt Walsh, who has done this little documentary on what is a woman, I know this maybe gets into a little bit of politics here, but he is talking to one of these people high up in one of the medical systems, and I want you to hear what she says, because I want people to understand that your health authorities are not really about your health. There's all kinds of corrupting things in there, primarily money, but also ideology. These medical institutions that are guiding you on your health, putting out recommendations, you go to a hospital, you put your life in these people's hands, and they've got ideologies that supersede science around health and particularly nutrition. So this is Matt Walsh will be the guy you hear, and the woman is somebody high up in one of these big swanky medical centers.
Male gametes. That's what makes me male.
No. Your sperm don't make you male.
Then what does?
It's a constellation.
In reality, in truth, okay?
Whose truth are we talking about?
The same truth that says we're sitting in this room right now, you and I.
No, you're not listening.
If I see a chicken laying eggs and I say that's a female chicken laying eggs, did I assign female, or am I just observing a physical reality that's happening in the world?
Does a chicken have gender identity? Does a chicken cry? Does a chicken commit suicide? Let's frame it, because
A chicken has sex like any biological organism.
A chicken has an assigned gender, but a chicken doesn't have a gender identity.
So we assign female to chickens when they lay eggs?
We assume they're female if they lay eggs.
Okay, so I play that. I don't like to do any kind of politics stuff on this portion of the show. That's an ideology thing. I just want you to know what you're dealing with. You've put your health into the hands of the medical establishment, and the people there are either bought off or they're darn near crazy. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I try to give you some information that you can take and run with to empower yourself to reclaim your health. It's within your hands. One of the big things I think facing Americans' health is the overprescription of antibiotics. It's insane. And this study bolsters this idea that we are just over-prescribing these things. And I'm going to tell you why that's a problem in just a second here. This was on Study Finds. Prescription for nothing? 7 in 10 doctors give patients unnecessary antibiotics for asymptomatic infections. Antibiotics can be dangerous to the gut and increase the risk of creating antibiotic-resistant bacterial strains. Despite the danger to good bacteria in the body, a new study finds about 70% of primary care physicians still believe in prescribing antibiotics for asymptomatic infections. Since the early 2000s, the attitude towards antibiotics has shifted. Multiple medical organizations advise against prescribing antibiotics for people who test positive for a urinary tract infection but show no symptoms, such as burning or frequent urination. Medical guidance states antibiotics are not useful for asymptomatic infections and could cause more harm than good. The side effects of these things include diarrhea, vomiting, rashes, and yeast infections. In rare cases, antibiotic-resistant strains such as C. difficile have an opportunity to expand in the colon and may cause death. Other cases involve bacteria infections that are deadly or hard to treat. And this is what they said about this, and I just want you to think about this when you're consulting with your family doctor. Quote, our study suggests that primary care clinicians do not follow widely accepted recommendations against prescribing antibiotics for asymptomatic bacteria. Some primary care physicians may be unaware of these recommendations, but a culture of inappropriate prescribing is also likely a contributing factor. And I know, I would imagine everybody listening to me, if you've got a primary care doc, you go in for something, and they will throw you on an antibiotic like it is just, and the idea is you have a bacterial infection. I've got something that kills bacteria. Take it. It makes common sense, doesn't it? The problem is our body is full, and particularly in our gut, full of bacteria, many of those we desperately need to be healthy. These antibiotics do not care about those. They will destroy your good gut bacteria. If you do not have proper gut health, you will have all kinds of other problems. And one of the biggest offenders that I've seen is the Z-Pak. Every winter, I'll talk to somebody on the phone. They don't sound great. Man, you don't sound good. Oh, I know. I need to run and go get a Z-Pak. The vast majority of these diseases that go around, colds and flus, these are viruses. An antibiotic does not address a virus. It's not the same thing. And yet people are prescribed and they take and doctors hand out these Z-Paks consistently for even viral infections for which there is absolutely no necessity. I found an article, a Z-Pak is a regimen of prescription antibiotics, azithromycin, used to treat bacterial infections. Antibiotics, including the Z-Pak, do not treat viruses, which are the cause of most colds and even bronchitis. Antibiotics, especially the Z-Pak, are commonly overprescribed when they are not needed. And I had read some research. I did it on this show. I can't remember the exact amount, but one Z-Pak, one course of these antibiotics that you take can disrupt your gut health for up to a year. There are steps you can take with probiotics and prebiotics and giving your body what it needs to rebuild gut health, but most people have no idea. So you are going in and setting yourself up for all kinds of problems for a year, a knock-on year after that five-day course of a Z-Pak of antibiotics that don't even treat the virus that you have. And doctors hand these things out like candy. I'll need to remember to do the story again next fall when everybody starts to get the colds and the sniffles and the flus and they run out to get a Z-Pak. Now, some people say, well, I feel better on the Z-Pak. I think I got well a day earlier. There may be a placebo effect or something, but you are not killing a virus with an antibacterial. They are two separate and different things. Now, for those of you out there, a lot of people, their kids, my kids, before I caught a clue when they were four, are given a ton of antibiotics as well. And I remember my children having some gut problems, constipation, things like that. And every time something came up, we put them on antibiotic. Doctor gave us an antibiotic. They got some kind of a sickness. They put them on an antibiotic, and it screwed them up. When we stopped doing that, when I started feeding them right, the infections went away. Kids used to have chronic ear infections. Then when I changed our diet, those ear infections just went away. We didn't need those antibiotics anymore. Now, there are certainly times where an antibiotic is called for. I will also remind you, however, if you've got something, you think you've got some kind of a bacterial infection, if you're not really sick, you're not really and any danger from it. Bacterial infections can be very serious. There's times where you've got to intravenous antibiotics just to save your life. I'm not saying they should never be used. I'm saying they are overprescribed like all medications in the country. But garlic is one thing that is a fantastic both antiviral and antibacterial plant that God has given us. So if you're concerned about a bacterial problem, you might want to try eating a little bit of raw garlic as well. This story was on Gut Health News. Antibiotics could wreak havoc on athletes' abilities by disrupting the gut bacteria. And I think of all the parents out there that have these hopes and dreams for their kids. They're going to be these great athletes. Previous research shows that exposure to antibiotics at least one time can disrupt the delicate microbiome balance between the good and bad bacteria. Not only are you at risk for antibiotic-resistant infections, but a new mouse study finds these drugs can also affect your athletic performance. Researchers found antibiotics can impede speed and endurance. In mice, this translated to a shorter and slower time on their running wheel. Antibiotics did not cause nausea or sickness in the mice, suggesting the decreased motivation was from antibiotic effects on the gut microbiome. Quote, we believed an animal's collection of gut bacteria, its microbiome, would affect digestive processes and muscle function as well as motivation for various behaviors, including exercise. That's from Theodore Garland at the University of California, Riverside. He's an evolutionary physiologist and did a study on this. He said our study reinforces this belief. And it goes through the mechanisms of the story where these mice were not wanting to exercise. They lost their motivation and their performance, both in endurance and speed, were reduced because of these antibiotics. I think we are just at the cusp of understanding how important your gut microbiome is. It's linked to your mood. I don't know if antibiotics make you psychotic, but I would imagine if you're using a bunch of antibiotics and killing your good gut bacteria, it's probably affecting your mood as well. As I said, there are times when an antibiotic is certainly justified and needed and warranted, and sometimes they save lives. What a fantastic invention antibiotics are. But just like every other drug in the United States, they are handed out like candy. And 7 out of 10 primary care physicians will give them out in times when they were actually not called for and are advised against. They just don't know it. It's just easy. I looked at comments under some of these stories, and one of the things that people brought up several times in the comments was maybe it's not the doctor's fault. It's that patients go in and they want to leave with something. Come on, doc. Can't you just give me an antibiotic? Now, the doctor should be in the job of educating people and saying, I could, but it's not good for you, and here's all the problems it could cause. Instead, they just go, all right, I mean, I got to make it look like I'm doing something. And so they will hand out antibiotics like candy. Anyway, it is not, I think antibiotics are something we don't even think about. We just take them because we were told to take them. There's no side effects. There are side effects, and sometimes they're long-lasting. As I said, a Z-Pak can interrupt your gut health for up to a year, I believe the statistic was. It was a long time. I know that. It was many months. It was not in weeks. So when you take these Z-Packs, you're not, it's not all good. It's not harmless. I'll put it that way. I'll be right back. Citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment for today's Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Before I go any further, I want to mention sponsors of this show that are involved in the natural health movement. One of those is our good friends over at Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic. They are over off Draperton Drive, right over by Costco. If you've got pains, they do great work with joint pain. If you're facing a surgery, you need to stop by and see these people and see if there's maybe a way you can avoid that and help your body heal itself, because that's what Integrative Health does. Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic starts to look at you from the inside out, try to figure out why your body is breaking down, why your joints are hurting, what your joints are missing. And they work to restore your health, not just treat a symptom through the cut, burn, and poison model. Integrative medicine, they do not reject conventional treatment, and they don't just accept natural therapies uncritically. They look for the best things for your body. It's based on good science, and they've got years, decades of experience there and specialize to treat your medical needs. They offer all-natural and customized healthcare solutions that focus on an inside-to-outside philosophy, blending traditional with their treatment programs designed to provide pain relief and targeting the causes of your disease. These people need to be one of your first consults if you're facing a health crisis, because the traditional medical establishment is not interested in what's causing the problem. They've just got something to treat the symptoms. And I don't know if you've noticed, that's not working out. You can find Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic right there in Ridgeland online at imawc.com, imawc.com, or you can call them at 601-843-6195, 601-843-6195. You tell them you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You want to reclaim your health. You want to get over whatever's affecting you right now, and tell them that Mike Madison sent you that way. Also want to mention, if you're looking for something good to eat, some good quality food, some better nutrition for your family, and great tasting meat, please check out StoningtonFarm.com. StoningtonFarm.com. I love these people. I love what they are doing. They grow Mississippi-born, Mississippi-bred, grass-fed, grass-finished cows for bulk shipments up to Jackson. I've had several listeners already tell me they've gotten the products. They absolutely love them. One of them told me a story where the daughter of the farmers down there, the Stoningtons, the daughter was on her way back up to school, and so she brought up the meat, and he just met her and picked up the meat. There's something about that story I absolutely love. That is a family farm providing great quality, highly nutritious meat to another family in central Mississippi, swinging through town and dropping it off. That's absolutely fantastic. You're doing business with a family farm that is doing it right. There is a big difference in the nutritional profile of traditionally the stuff you see on the grocery store shelves that are in the cellophane wrapped. It's been coated with carbon monoxide to keep it pink from wherever it was cut until it finally gets to the grocery store. There's a big difference between that and that kind of corn-fed, GMO-fed cattle where they try to fatten them up as fast as they can and inject them with all kinds of antibiotics and hormones and everything else to get you that meat. Instead, this is grain, no antibiotics, no hormones, and they eat the way that cows were intended to eat. These are healthier cows. That's why they don't need antibiotics, because they give cows what cows need to eat, which is grass. Rotate their cattle through their fields, and they eat grass like God intended a cow to eat. Again, that is StoningtonFarm.com, StoningtonFarm.com. You can check out their website and give them a call down there. Tell them what you need. If you got a big freezer, get yourself a half cow. If you don't think you can eat that much, single person, get together with somebody and share it. This is better for you, and it tastes fantastic. StoningtonFarm.com. Please check them out. And again, tell them that the Mike Madison Show sent you. All right, tis the season. I've only got a few minutes here to end up the hour, but tis the season. Everybody's headed out to vacations. I'm actually probably a couple of weeks late in getting this out. This is another thing I repeat. I do it probably every year, but that is the sunscreens, particularly the ones you are slathering on your children. It's very interesting. I've pointed to this quite often, that the incidence of skin cancer has actually gone up the more sunscreens we use. Take a look at a chart. Since the 1970s, we have been convinced to slather on all kinds of this stuff. The powers that be tell us to run away from the sun. Don't spend any time in the sun. If you go in the sun, slather yourself in these chemical cocktails to protect yourself. And what a lot of these things do is they hamper your body to create vitamin D that you desperately need for your health. And you're also coating your skin in a bunch of chemicals. And your skin is the largest organ of the body. It soaks these up. The sunscreen chemicals tested in one FDA study included azobenzene, oxybenzone, acrylene, homosalate, all these different things. The effects of these sunscreens may linger longer than expected, too. An FDA-led 2020 study found that, quote, chemical sunscreen ingredients are systemically absorbed after one application, and some ingredients can stay in the blood for at least 3 weeks. Beyond safety issues, another question, does sunscreen even work? Environmental working groups found that nearly 75% of sunscreens don't work and or contain concerning ingredients that are readily absorbed by the body. Now, I'm not telling anybody to go out there and get into the sun for 6 hours with no protection on whatsoever at the beginning of summer. You will roast yourself, and that is bad for your skin. But there is a difference when you get, just like food, just like there is a difference in the quality of your food, there is a difference in the quality of your sunscreens. And I implore you, particularly for our children, because boy, do I see. And I did it too. I did it too. I would slather my children, my young children, my toddlers. Used to love to go to the pool, get in the little ring, put on the little bonnet. I'd pull them around the pool like everybody else does, and we would slather them down in this chemical cocktail. I had no idea. I still used sunscreen for my children later in life, but you can ask them. I was very particular about the sunscreens I've got. I've got a story here. Do not have time to get through very much of it at all. But this was on Dr. Axe's website. Let me give you the title if you want to look it up. Or you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you my show notes. It'll have the link to this. Best Sunscreens and Toxic Ones to Avoid. This is on Dr. Axe, A-X-E, draxe.com, Best Sunscreens and Toxic Ones to Avoid. And they kind of piggyback off the work of Environmental Working Group. That is the EWG. You can look them up, too. Look up Environmental Working Group or EWG Sunscreens, and they will give you a list. They've got the most highly rated, and they've got all kinds of... This list is long. There are plenty of options out there that do not contain all of these horrible chemicals that you should not be using. I'm trying to find a list here. They've got the best. There's several in the best here. And there's some that are for kid-friendly picks as well. I'm not telling anybody to go out here. It is most toxic sunscreens to avoid. I'm just going to read you some of these so that you understand they're everywhere. Walgreens Dry Touch Sunscreen Lotion SPF 100. Panama Jack Sunscreen Continuous Spray SPF 100. Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Dry Touch Sunscreen SPF 85 and 100. And the Body Mist Spray 100. A lot of Neutrogena on here too. Equate, isn't that the Walmart brand? Equate Beauty Ultralight Sunscreen Lotion. These things are loaded with chemicals you do not want getting into your system, and they are being absorbed through your skin. Just like I tell you, in the grocery store, if you want to eat well, almost anything that you want, that you're hungry for, that you like the taste of, you can find in a better product, an organic product, a non-GMO product. You don't have to really sacrifice much. You can get sunscreens. Just to look at this information and get the ones that aren't loading your body and the bodies of your children down with a ton of unnecessary chemicals. Check it out, EWG or Dr. Axe. That's all the time I got. No matter see you tomorrow. How bye-bye. Hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard